Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. You know, the recent flooding was unfortunate for a lot of reasons. Wisconsin consumers should be on alert, high alert for scams. But the good news is our guests from the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection can help you out. And they're with me today in the studio. Michelle Reinen, back with us once again, Director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection. Michelle, good to see you.
Nice to see you, Larry.
And it's good to see Laura Sutherland as well. Laura is the Administrator for the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me on.
Today, we'll take a look at storm chasers and grandparent scams. They're rearing their heads again. And we'll also hear about success stories from the FTC taking action against tech support scams and robocalls. And, of course, we want to hear from you. Do you think you might have been scammed? Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. And you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Well, in the month of March, there were some of the top scams reported to the DATCP's Consumer Protection Hotline, I will bet. What were some of the top scams?
Well, we've heard them all before. Utility scams is certainly one of them. It's hitting us pretty hard. And now's a time when we start moving into a period where utilities can be cut off. You know, we're coming into that mid-April April period. We're through some of the severe weather, so people can be caught off guard by that timing, certainly. But it's still cool enough. We need our utilities. So it's still a big threat to individuals to have this disconnection. And we've seen it with the WPS name, the We Energies name, but also Alliant now. The scam artists are impersonating all of those companies. And we need to be sure that consumers are alert to the fact that utility companies don't make these phone calls. They go through a letter process. If you're delinquent in payment, you can work with your utility company directly for payment plans if need be, but they won't just threaten an immediate disconnection. That's a process you'll get written notification about.
And that's what they're doing with these phone calls. They're just saying, you know, we're going to cut you off unless you send us money.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a real threat in immediacy. The truck's on the way. We have the work order to do the disconnection. You need to make your payment. Here's how much you're delinquent. Call this number to make the payment immediately. And they give truck numbers in some situations and scenarios to make it feel incredibly legitimate. And that would throw someone off guard. And especially it might throw some of our millennials off guard because they're not used to, you know, being responsible for their own bills and payments if they're new consumers. Mom and dad took care of all those things in the past. So making sure that we're educating that audience and group on how companies legitimately do business, even if they're using modern technology, even if you do electronic payment methods, you don't get a phone call. You'll still get paper documentation about disconnections and back payments and collection issues.
So that's one. Another one relates to these storm chaser scams out there that I mentioned at the top of the show. How do they usually work?
That's right, Larry. The storm chasers are out again this year, and in part because we're seeing a lot of flooding around the state of Wisconsin. And anytime you have a vulnerable community and an environmental disaster, people come together to help each other, but there's also a contingent of people that want to take advantage of that situation. So folks should be really aware when someone comes to their door offering their assistance. We call these folks storm chasers. Not everybody that comes to your door is going to try to scam you, but some of them could. And the red flags for determining whether or not you're going to be vulnerable to a scam is somebody who comes and insists on payment immediately. There's some level of urgency to the help that they want to give you. A lot of times, they're offering significantly higher prices than what you would get from a typical contractor. Their work is going to be oftentimes shoddier, and the materials they're using are oftentimes not nearly what they need to be to get the job done. So you should use your best judgment as you would any time you're looking for a contractor, and you take it slow. You talk to the folks in your community. You ask for references. But be wary of somebody who comes up to your door, particularly in the time of flooding, and asks to help you straight away with any level of urgency.
Yeah.
The other thing you should also be aware of about door-to-door sales folks is that oftentimes municipalities require some form of registration. So you should call your municipality to find out, does this person have any business coming to your door? Are they permitted to be doing that? That's a good way to do a safety check. You can also call DADCAP at our 800 number, which is 1-800-422-7128, and we can provide you information on contractors, whether or not they have had a complaint filed against them, and give you some basic information about a contractor that's at your door if they've actually had a complaint filed against them. But when you're thinking about filing a contract or hiring a subcontractor, you should also, particularly in this after the flooding, you should be in touch with your insurance carrier. Find out if you're covered. And if you are, you should do your due diligence about taking pictures, making sure that you've kept good reporting about about what's happened, and find out first whether or not you have insurance coverage before you spend a lot of money on a contractor.
Quick story I had. I was visiting a friend. This is a few years back. Friend's home, and there was some contract, somebody working on somebody else's house, just kind of kitty corner across the street, and they came over and asked if they, if my friend wanted to have her home taken care of too. And I right away remembering, I said, well, where are you guys from? And it turns out that happened to be a local company, and they were fixing the other house. They noticed the damage, and they all right, we'll walk over. So it worked out. That was okay. But there's a lot of times these somebody may show up and they have not anywhere close to where you're living.
Right, absolutely. And I think we're talking in the context of what's happened, the floods, but we are in April in Wisconsin. And so what happens in April? We have a
hail
series
damage,
of
everything.
Storms that tend to visit our state. And so now might be a good time to find that go-to contractor should you end up with window damage, roof damage, something as
siding.
A result. Siding, yeah, as a result of some storms coming. You know, if someone's having some regular maintenance work done or a regular repair to the home, might be a good time, if you like the work, to grab the business card and keep it available to you should you have to be responsive to an emergency rather than, falling for what appears before you in a time of urgency.
Yeah, makes good sense. Well, let's take a few calls. By the way, you can join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Helen in West Salem up first. Hi, Helen.
Hi. I was calling to see if they would recognize a phone number. I have never answered it. They do leave a message, and it's always call this number to receive your refund. Well, I'm not looking for any refund, so I don't call it. But I was just wondering if I give you the number, if you would even recognize it as something, some scam. It's 833-438-4800.
Well, Helen, I appreciate you giving the number, but we deal with a lot of numbers at the office in different things, so I don't recognize that number off the bat. But there's two suggestions that I do have for you. One would be to call Consumer Protection, and I'll give that number in a minute to see if they've had any complaints about that number and to also then report it so we can track the number. But then second, for any of the listeners, if you ever have a number that you're curious about, you could Google the phone number with the word complaint or scam. And then if others throughout the nation are having a situation with that phone number, it will provide you all that feedback and comments. And often you'll see, oh yeah, this is a scam about, the IRS calling to receive payments or Social Security Administration. So those are different options for you. But to contact Consumer Protection, call 1-800-422-7128.
1-800-422-7128. That's the number to call.
I just add one other thing,
sure,
Helen.
Laura.
If you want to, you can call your carrier and have them block that number for you. If you do determine that it is a scam.
All right, there you go.
It sounds like it's persistent, so maybe you want to do that.
Thanks, Helen. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Duke in Milwaukee next. Hi, Duke.
How you doing?
Good. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
I was wondering if this program covers renters' rights.
All right. Michelle, we'll go to you.
Yeah, absolutely. What's your question?
Well, I have, just in general, you know, if I had a problem with a landlord by not doing repairs, I could call you?
Yeah, so if you are renting from a property and there are issues that the landlord promised to repair before you moved in, the landlord should put those in writing for you. But if they're not following through, you could file a complaint. But you can get a lot of detail by calling our Consumer Protection Hotline, 1-800-422-7128. Or we have lots of information on our website as well at datcp.wi.gov. Some repairs need to be handled at the building inspector level because they might deal with the housing codes in a municipality. And so that might be the referral that we provide to you depending upon what the type of repairs are and when they became an issue for you in your rental history.
Yeah. So it could also happen, I mean, during the time, not necessarily before, but during, you could still...
Right.
Call you guys, right?
Oh, absolutely. So if it's happening during and it's things that are of a code nature, the roof is leaking, you have fire issues or electrical problems, plumbing problems, call us. We'll tell you to call the building inspector. But if it's things that, you know, there was a hole in the wall and it's not structurally, it doesn't hurt the integrity, and there was a promise when you moved in that the hole would be fixed, that comes within our authority. So we'll help sort all of that out when you call.
There you go, Duke. Thank you so much. That help?
Have a good day.
Yeah, thank you very much. Let's take another call. Vicki in Eagle River, your turn now. Hi, Vicki.
Hi, how are you?
Good, appreciate your call. What can we do for you?
I'm getting repeated calls from a company, and they want to sell, or they want to get me a free medical brace for some my back or my knee or leg or whatever it is, whatever flavor of the day it is. And sometimes they call multiple times a day. I'm just wondering, I keep pressing the button that says, you know, the do not call button, and I still get these calls constantly.
All right. Laura, you want to take that?
Absolutely. Hi, Vicki. Thanks for calling in. So we both heard you say that you get these repeated calls and you press the button, and we want you to know, don't press the button. That is absolutely one of the quickest ways you can keep getting the calls, interestingly enough. And it sounds like they're telling you to press the button not to get the call. But in fact, that's inaccurate. With a lot of these robocalls, what they do is they ask you to engage with them. And that's a way in which they can track your number and keep it, and the calls will persist. So if you have a caller ID and it's a number that you recognize, don't answer it. The best thing you should do is let it go to voicemail and don't answer the call. And then if you do happen to answer it, go ahead and hang up. Be sure not to press any of the buttons, because interestingly enough, even though it tells you it allows you to cancel the call, it does exactly the opposite. And we spoke to someone else earlier, Helen, about a call that she was getting. You could call your carrier and see if you can get the number blocked so those calls will stop. And then finally, go ahead and call our 1-800 number and give us the number so we can add it to our list and report it to the Federal Trade Commission, who does, in fact, track these fraudulent phone numbers, and it allows them to keep them tracked and provide them actually to organizations that offer call blocking services. So you have your phone carriers often offer call blocking services, and a lot of the numbers that they block, they're getting from the FTC. So by reporting these numbers to us and allowing us to funnel those into the system, we can hopefully prevent that number from continuing to be used. So that number for that you can call us is 1-800-422-7128.
There you go, Vicki. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. talking today with Michelle Reinen and also with Laura Sutherland. Laura, the administrator in the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection. Michelle directs the Bureau of Consumer Protection within the organization. I'm Larry Mueller. Tyler Ditter, our engineer today, Jane Rotunda, our producer. You are listening to the Ideas Network. Taking a look at all kinds of consumer protection issues today with our two guests, Michelle Reinen and Laura Sutherland from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Larry Mueller here. Questions for them, or maybe you've been scammed or you're worried about being scammed, give a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. And let's take another call. Blaze from Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Blaze.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I get a lot of these calls, like, where they'll try to use local numbers. And, you know, I block them every time because I have a blocking feature on my phone. But the numbers, they're not real numbers. Like, if you call them back, they're out of service. So they're obviously using some kind of service to spoof their number. And so I don't know their real number. And, you know, I have probably 100 phone numbers blocked in my phone, but none of them call back a second time. It's always a new number.
Yep. Michelle, isn't that about right?
Yeah, that is. That's one of the techniques that they are using, and it's called spoofing. It has its own term, and to spoof a number is to give that misrepresentation on the caller ID. So you're good to continue to block them. I know that they're moving around. It's good to still report them because we track them. They continue to try and use the information with others and until it falls short situation, but you can continue to do that. Now, the Federal Communications Commission is working with the phone providers and have issued letters at the end of 2018 to all the telecommunications providers to put into place by the end of 2019 some technology that would prevent this misrepresentation, the spoofing of the caller ID, as well as put in some call blocking based on authentication. And we've talked about it in the past as it was related to some pilot programs about a year and a half ago. But now the Federal Communications Commission is really trying to, through the commissioner, make all the providers do this by the end of the year. And some providers have already started to roll things out for April at different levels and availability for customers, whether or not it's, you know, a wireless smartphone or it's a VoIP, the voice over internet protocol, or landline. So we should see a lot of changes in 2019 as it relates to this call authentication. And it's got a fancy name. It's stir shaken or shaken stir, and all those letters stand for things if people want to look it up and things. But it's really it's and I can go through it. It's secure telephony identity revisited is the stir, and the shaken is secure handling of asserted information using the keys. So or the tokens, sorry. So, you know, it gets very complicated into the protocols that are being used and the formats and things. But there is, I guess, hope on the horizon for this bulk calls that will happen. In the meantime, keep going through the protocols that we've been talking about. Don't answer. Just hang up if you do. Don't press buttons. Block calls if you have the availability. If you're on a smartphone, get an app that will block the calls. I know, Larry, you have one you love.
Yeah, I'm Hiya. Yeah. I love Hiya.
Right. So there's options there. And then just continue to report so we can continue to work with the Federal Trade Commission in tracking these individuals, because results do come from those reports.
And thanks again, Blaze, for calling. Appreciate it. Dave in Wisconsin Rapids, it's your turn now. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Larry. We've all probably received calls that we won a lot of money. And I recently got one of those. We had won $9.5 million. And when I asked what I had to do to claim it, I had to go to Walmart and get a $200 card and send it to this number. And I said, well, we'd do that, but I said, we just won $5 million last week. so we're pretty flush, so maybe you should send this on to somebody else. It turns out this operation's coming out of Puerto Rico, but that's one way to deal with them.
Well, what do you think, Laura?
I think Dave had an excellent way to deal with them, had a little fun with it too, it sounds like. That's right, Dave. Anytime someone asks you to give money once you've won money, it's probably a pretty good red flag that it's a scam. But actually, it's very common, and we appreciate you calling in to tell folks about it, that these scams do include, in order to win, you need to give us a gift card of a certain amount of money to get the money that you've purportedly won. So anytime you hear that, we would encourage you not to engage in the call altogether. But if you do, for a little bit of fun, be certain that you understand giving away money to win money is also always a red flag that they're trying to rip you off.
Yeah, and sometimes it's not a good idea to engage for another reason. And Michelle, you may remember this, where the caller got into kind of a little argument back and forth with the person. And then a little bit later, the police showed up at his home because that person had called the local police department and said there was a disturbance. And so they were coming. So they actually went that far. So
right. I remember that was a pretty extreme situation, but yeah, it shows that the scam artists calling are, well, they're human too, and that they get aggravated, I think, by the response that they're getting, which is no, no, no. And boy, it had a very negative reaction.
Well, on to Brett in Eau Claire next. Hi, Brett.
Hi. I love the show, Larry.
Thank you.
The one thing that I actually do some of the time to mess with the scammer calls is to just do the Swedish Chef impersonation and answer like, because then they can't use hello or yes or no or something. I've heard they can use that against you somewhere down the line.
Mm-hmm.
But the question I had was, I got a call several weeks ago from a private caller or a blocked number or something like that. And the guy, I picked it up. And the guy said something like, there's a government organization, and I can't remember which one he said it was, but they're holding a package for me worth $500,000, and I need to stay on the line, and he needs to turn me over to his supervisor or something like that. And then the number changed from $500,000 to $250,000, which was, you know, a red flag, obviously. And then I just said, yeah, no, leave me alone, and I hung up. And then he called back. And then he said, why did you hang up on me? I said, because you're scamming me. And then he wouldn't stop calling, and we kept trying to let it just go to voicemail. And so we had to unplug the phone because he kept calling, like, every day for a week or something like that. We plug it back in and then get these calls from this guy again and again. And the question I have, I guess, is there any government organization that would actually call you? Because as far as I know, they usually send you something in the mail, like a letter in the mail, or they come to your house if it's a big enough deal, you know?
Yeah. Michelle?
Yeah, he's right in that the government is going to, through documentation, do notification to you. And I'm trying to remember who it was, but about a year ago, we had a scam that was circulating where the government was contacting, and I forget which agency the scam played off of, but that they had money for you, and that you, in order to claim it, and it was through phone calls as well. I feel like they were using Homeland Security because it didn't make sense, the tie with the money, but I don't think that that's right. But this, my point is that the scam artists will go to any length to seem legitimate and entice the consumer to interact with them. And it's interesting, he did catch that the dollar value lowered because the next person who was shifted in the scam didn't know the first amount that had been claimed. And so now we had a different value there. So being sure that we remember, government doesn't make unsolicited phone calls. They do not call consumers out of the blue. They may call a consumer back from a message that was left with them, but they won't call out of the blue. And if you're owed money, there's going to be a whole series of documentation and tracking that will be done in written form. So just disregard these phone calls.
Thank you, Brett. Appreciate it. And on to Dennis in Two Rivers next. Hi, Dennis.
Hi. I was just wondering how reliable it is to check on a company's reputation on the Better Business Bureau website, because apparently a business can refute an entry.
So if they
disagree with what's written and they have that entry removed, then all they might have is just a few great reviews and not any that they don't like.
Laura, do you want to take that?
Yeah, absolutely. Dennis, thanks for your call. The Better Business Bureau is actually an excellent source for information. They oftentimes refer things to the Department of Ag and Trade and Consumer Protection to look into as well. But it does provide a dialogue between the business and the consumer, and that's obvious for obvious reasons that someone could do a complaint against the company, and the company could be a legitimate company, oftentimes is, and should have the opportunity to respond. So oftentimes you will see that consumers complain and that the company responds and the consumer doesn't then respond again. And then the course of action is often to leave the last word to the business. So it's not the last place you should go, but it is a place that you should go to gather information. It's valid information that's worth looking into. They often have ratings of companies. And then if you still have questions, you can go beyond that. You can call the hotline to see if there are any complaints against a company as well, and you can continue to research the company. But certainly, the Better Business Bureau is a good place to start your investigation of any organization.
All right, there you go. Thank you so much for coming. Anything to add to that, Michelle?
No, Laura's absolutely right. It is a good source of information. I guess in addition, we're the government, and so we enforce the state's consumer protection laws. And the Better Business Bureau is there. It's a for-profit company that has memberships that sustain them. And so some businesses are members of the Better Business Bureau, and that means they have an offering to try and resolve issues with consumers. And they're part of their membership. They're expected to respond. But member businesses are also interact with the Better Business Bureau to formulate these ratings based on an algorithm. And again, as she mentioned, they will rate companies based on responses. The government doesn't do that. We don't have that in place. So both places, you'll get maybe duplicative information and you may get different information depending upon where consumers are complaining. So it should be in your toolkit for how you check out a business.
Todd in Janesville, we go to you next. Hi, Todd.
Hi, just a quick comment on how they're really targeting elderly people. I think they're more susceptible to these scams. My girlfriend's parents were 90 years old, and they were contacted by a sheriff's department from up north that their grandson, and they had their grandson's name, gave them the name, was in jail, pulled over in a traffic stop, and had drugs in the car, and they needed to send them $5,000 or he would be staying in jail until his court date. And my girlfriend's dad said, you know, what was our, and they talked to him, had the kid on the, you know, a young kid on the phone crying, you know, grandpa, I'm, you know, I really messed up. And then her grandpa said, you know, what was our dog's name? And he, you know, he didn't remember the dog's name. So then his grandpa knew there was something up, but I think elderly people are more susceptible, so they're really targeting elderly people. So that's my comment.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks for taking me. This is my call.
Yeah, thank you, Todd. Appreciate your call. Yep.
That's right, Todd, and that's an excellent example of how elderly people can be targeted. And it sounds like the grandparents in this situation did precisely what DADCAP would recommend, that you have a plan in place to understand whether or not somebody actually knows you. Oftentimes, these scams take place in the context of spring break, right? And there will be one of your family members will be vacationing and a scammer will call a grandparent and pretend to be a grandchild or pretend to be a relative and have this elaborate story about how they're in harm's way. And in your case, they actually had a child crying on the other end. They actually went the extra mile. And some of the ways that you can prevent falling prey to these scams is to set up a plan with your family when those types of things happen. So make sure your family knows your travel itinerary, where you're going, when you'll be where, and then a code word that they should that you would use so your family member knows it's you. And it sounds like, Todd, your family members did sort of a variation on that by verifying whether or not they knew the dog's name. It's a great idea. But be sure to communicate with your family about where you're going, because, in fact, scammers do take advantage of this time, and they do contact folks pretending that they're your grandchildren. Very common scam.
Yeah. Thank you very much for calling. Tim in Duluth, Minnesota.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I received a scam phone call. My wife is actually from the East Coast, and it so happens that our cell phones are based in the East Coast, so our numbers are East Coast numbers. She happened to be visiting her parents out there, and I was home alone. And I got a phone call, and it was a woman crying hysterically. And you could hear traffic in the background. And she was trying to talk, but you never really understood anything she said because she was so hysterical. And then all of a sudden, a guy gets on the phone and identifies himself as a police officer. And he says that your relative has been in an accident, and if you could please help calm her down, and we need to deal with this. He didn't come out and ask for money yet, but what I noticed was that he did not identify the department that he worked for. So I asked him to do so, and he just kept talking about, you know, we've got to clear the cars out of traffic, and I'm not really sure how he was going to get to ask me for money, but it was so believable at first that you're just instantly sucked into it.
Yeah.
And luckily, you know, I have a background where I realize that he's identifying himself in a way that officers do not. And but it was startling. I've never had a call like that. I believe that the woman crying was pre-recorded because the level of volume or attenuation changed when he got on the phone. And it was pretty sophisticated scam. And I'm not sure how he was going to get to, you know, getting money, but he never got that far. Because once I said, you need to identify yourself and what department he was, when I kept saying that, he was gone. He hung up.
Yeah, man. They're getting more sophisticated all the time, aren't they, Michelle?
They sure are. And it's nice, I think, that we're having Todd and Tim back-to-back callers with situations where one was directed at the grandparent specifically, and the code word that was used in this situation is not the grandparent, it's the spouse. And, the grandparent scam, the other name of it is friends and family, because it targets seniors. As Todd was saying, they are sometimes considered more vulnerable. They are targets to many of these scams. When they fall victim, it's at a higher rate of volume, but they tend to recognize the scams through all the education and disconnect and just report. But in Tim's situation with the police officer and the spouse being in harm's way from the accident and too hysterical to communicate, it takes on the friends and family version. And so everyone needs to be aware, because no one is immune from being targeted from these scams. So a great way to recognize everything. I hope everyone is listening that we need passwords. We need code words type situation that can be used should true emergencies happen. And sometimes they are so severe you are not able to talk to the person involved in the emergency. But having those keywords, those passwords, will be a very important thing to recognize reality versus scams, because they're so emotional.
Yeah, they are. And just waiting for the time when they start getting into Facebook and using, mm-hmm. we're going on our trip, and all the photos from your trip and so forth. They know you're gone, and they can pull things.
Right. So we really encourage before you travel to be sure that you are locking down that public access if you haven't already as your normal practice. Be sure you're not oversharing and sometimes wait. Just wait to share till you're back instead of giving people the information in the moment that can be used, you know, to harm family members financially. It's a form of harm. It's financial harm. And once it starts, it can easily continue because they will be seen as targets for future scams.
Tim, thanks again. Appreciate it. John in Appleton, it's your turn. Hi, John.
Yeah, my comment on Tim, that's not just annoying, that is downright cruel to somebody to set that up.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have the actual opposite, a little bit of levity. Several years ago, they would have these, your car warranty is about to expire.
Yeah.
And, I was getting bunches of these, and I was working on a project. I had to put my tools down, and finally, I would just hang up. But then it got to a certain point where I'm going to talk to these people. I don't know what I'm going to say, but I'm going to talk to these people. And I punched the button. What's the make and model of your vehicle? Inspiration struck. 1924 Pierce Arrow. Just a moment, sir, while we put you on our do not call list. And it did. I never got another call from them.
Well, that was one way to do it. John, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Oh, man. Nick in Green Bay will give you a chance. Hi, Nick.
Hi. I really enjoy the scam calls because I'm really obnoxious. And my aunt's kind of low income, so she got a phone call saying that she could get a $5,000 loan if she sent up $750 in gift cards. And so she told me, and like I said, I'm pretty obnoxious, so I called them back, and I called them, like, 3 or 4 times a day. And after about 4 months, we were on, like, I told them my first name, I didn't care. We were on name-to-name basis, and they were getting really mad. They said they were going to come and beat me up and stuff. I said, I gave them my address, so let's go. And finally, I got one guy, and after I talked to him about 7 or 8 times, I said, why do you do this? And he's like, well, you Americans have lots of money. He's like, so we're really poor over here, so that's the reason we do it. But I called them for 4 or 5 months straight, like, every day. And they, like you said, we're on name-to-name basis. I mean, I'd be like, this is Nick. And they're like, oh, how's it going today? I said, goodness. And so you scam me anybody lately? And the guys would get so mad. Oh, they're so mad.
Well, Nick, you're lucky you didn't get any retribution from those guys, right, Laura?
That's right, Nick. It's a funny story, but we really discourage folks from engaging in that on that level, particularly because some of these people can be violent and be dangerous and be, you know, easily frustrated by that level of engagement. The other thing, Nick, that occurs to me is it would be great if you report those numbers to DadCap, because that obviously was a boiler room phone call scammers from another country. And those are precisely the types of boiler rooms that the federal government looks for and tries to shut down when they cooperate with other countries. So you obviously had a long engagement with that, with a pretty high level boiler room. So,
yeah. Yeah, so it'd be good to phone that one in.
Yeah.
to 1-800-422-7128. That's the number for the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. And our guests today, Michelle Reinen and Laura Sutherland from the department. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network. Taking a look at consumer scam issues today with our two guests, Michelle Reinen and Laura Sutherland, from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks so much for joining in. And I'm just looking and seeing we've got open lines, so we'll get you on pretty quickly. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. And Dan emailed, by the way. He said, I received a phone call from someone saying that they had received a call from my phone number. I'm guessing a scammer used my phone number. If my number was reported as a scammer, could I face any consequences?
Well, So what happens is that you might receive calls from individuals who see it on their caller ID. You might get a letter from Consumer Protection if we tracked it back, and you would just need to tell us what's what with that. But we want a document, or we may call the number to validate that it is someone's number. I mean, we've run into that situation where someone's number is being used. And then we just, like we've talked before, we research every number that is reported to us. So we would do some validation that it really is a consumer line, make that note for the future, and then you probably wouldn't hear from us again. But that is a technique that they have adopted in the last year to entice people to answer, because they get confused why their own number is appearing on the phone line, and also to entice others to answer because it looks like a friend, a family member, or someone local making the calls.
Again, the number for you to call, 1-800-642-1234. Let's go to KB in Madison next. Hi, KB.
Good afternoon. How are you doing, guys?
Good.
Good. So the problem I have is I'm a commercial driver, and I'm focused on keeping 80,000 pounds between the ditches and the lines. I don't look at my cell phone. It's a company phone. And when I receive phone calls, it's Bluetooth. I just tap the button and answer. And I've been told, like, don't even answer them. And I don't recognize, you know, if I have the same prefix, it might be a coworker that I didn't put in the system. I'm wondering if there's an app that kind of focuses on call blocking and stuff for, you know, basically just contacts only and goes directly to voicemail. I didn't know if there was anything out there yet, but it's kind of dangerous to be, you know, talking to someone on the road when you're dealing with weather, whatever, traffic and stuff, and even with the Bluetooth. I just, you know, I'd much rather stay safe here, and I'm wondering what the options are, if there are any.
Yeah, I'm with you, KB. What about the options, Michelle?
Well, I'm not sure if there's an app that's as complex as what he's looking for, one that would recognize your contact list and validate it against the call coming in to only allow, I think, those calls to come, but then be able to filter those that aren't in his contact list yet. I mean, there are certainly call blocking apps that take the daily download from the Federal Trade Commission to recognize those phone numbers that are being used for scams, so those are blocked. And then hopefully that is enough of a filter that you can then rely on the calls that are coming through that'll either be your contacts or other legitimate authentic numbers. And Larry, your app works similar to that you've talked about.
Hiya. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then the things that are coming that the Federal Communication Commission is pretty much demanding of providers to put in place, this shake and stir technology works off of an authentication protocol that makes sure that numbers are valid before they're allowed to be connected. They will have to have what's called a signature with them. And again, that some are rolling out versions of that now. It's hoped to be rolled out with many of the providers. They're looking for the end of the year. And then they're trying to work towards legislation also that will partner with this. So we will see lots of changes. In the meantime, I think the best KB can do is kind of research the different apps and see what they offer.
Or have his company do it. The company might be really interested in wanting to, like KB wants to keep his eyes on the road, and the company itself might check with their provider.
Yeah, that's excellent, Larry. Right. Yeah.
Now, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. On to Jessica in Eau Claire next. Hi, Jessica.
Hi. I had received a couple of months ago a package from the government. It was a census survey, and it looked legitimate. There was stamps on every piece of paper saying that, you know, it was from the government. But anyways, I had just heard that they would be sending them out just a few weeks ago. So I'm wondering, was the one that I got months ago legitimate?
That's Laura. Do you want to take that one? You can check that, can't you?
You can. And that's a great question. And you're smart to be inquisitive about it and not just accept it as fact. And the Census Bureau does have a way in which you can verify whether what you've gotten is an accurate request from the federal government. There's a website, census.gov, that allows you to enter in some data, your address and who you are, to determine whether or not that you've actually been targeted for the census. So I encourage you to do that before you engage, and you are smart to ask that question.
Yeah, very, very much. I was thinking about my own experience. Just yesterday, I've got an email from one of my providers, supposedly, and it was asking me whether or not I wanted to continue to receive the reduced rate for the service they were providing. And so I called the company, and they said, yeah, in fact, that's the case. And so then I went ahead and said, yes, I do want to continue to receive the service, but I wasn't sure what they were going to ask me for. But I'll bet you that could be worked into some scams, too. This happened to be the phone provider that I had. And when it was probably poor communication on their part in a way, because I think what they were interested really in doing was to make sure I was still employed as a state employee so that they could continue to give me the credit. That's what they really wanted to know. But the way they worded it, it sounded like, well, who wouldn't want to continue to receive a reduced rate based on whatever?
Well, right. And you're talking, you received it by email.
Yeah, received an email.
And so that is one of the things. I mean, we issued an April Fool's Day release that talked about all the phishing scams that can come. And some of them can be fake invoices from companies. Others can be just validate information because your account's about to be disconnected, or that there can be a package waiting for you. You need to validate this so the package will come through. Hey, do you want to get this great rate or continue this rate? Just go into your account and validate. We provided you this wonderful link, you know, to go there. And we're always discouraging, you know, people responding to emails with links, because it'll either direct you to a fake website, or it could load malware onto the system, or they could be asking you for information that's private in nature. And so, yeah, you were skeptical. Thank you.
I've heard you talk for a long time now.
Right. I never be quiet. No. And that's excellent that you will respond and you called using your own information to validate. And once you found out it's a legitimate email, okay, now you can proceed. But you have to be so cautious of these things because they take on so many forms and impersonate the companies that we're working with and the big popular ones with enticements.
Yeah, there you go. Mary in Pewaukee, we'll go to you next. Hi, Mary.
Yes, good morning. I wanted to just mention that, and this has been a little while ago, maybe even a year or two. I don't know if anybody is still getting these, but the Microsoft, if you know, this is Microsoft, and we understand that there's a problem now with your account, and they want to keep you on hold, and you have to pay up. Also, I had one with the IRS, which I think you've talked about before our previous program. So, yeah, when in doubt, don't give anybody any information. I even had kept the people on the line and called, said, just a minute, I'm getting my banking information. And I had them on hold, and I actually called my local police department. And I'll be darned, they came right out. And I finally handed the phone to the police officer, and the police officer talked with them, and they said the F word, and hung up to the police officer. So, yeah, they take all kinds of whatever, you know. Yeah,
they'll do almost anything to get your money, Mary.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Oh, boy.
Yeah, we've heard a lot about Microsoft tech support scams and different variations and scams that can take on those big popular names. And actually, you know, I'm going to take this minute to talk about some of the tech support successes that have happened. And just to put out there the importance of reporting these things. You know, it might seem like you're constantly receiving these calls, but it's so important to report them because results do happen, but they do take time. And we're asked often if anything comes of these things. So the Federal Trade Commission did a tech support takedown in March of 2019. And they had received nearly 143,000 reports in 2018. And we've talked about it before. People over 60 tend to be targeted for this. And what they found out is that they were five times more likely to have lost money than younger people to the tech support scams, where your computer is giving off a virus and either you get a pop-up or you are getting this phone call to have it taken care of. And then they ask for the remote access to it. But one of the takedowns that we've actually received complaints about in Wisconsin is Elite IT Partners. And what Elite did is that they had bought keywords on Google to let them then target people who were searching for a way to recover lost passwords. And, you know, you have tech support people on, and this is an issue. So what it did was it really shut this case down they were making these calls and doing these tactics. So continue to report when you have these issues.
Makes a lot of sense to me. Our guests today, Michelle Reinen, Director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection, Laura Sutherland, Administrator for the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection. They're going to be with us right up until 12:30. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. Take a look at the news, and then we'll be back with our guests. You stay with us. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my two guests, Laura Sutherland and Michelle Reinen from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, taking a look at all kinds of consumer scam issues with them. Questions, I hope you'll join in at 1-800-642-1234. Let's take some calls. Dean in La Crosse has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Dean.
Hello. I periodically get called. Well, I'm on the do not call list, and I guess my first question is does that really do me any good anymore? Because I get periodic calls from charitable contributions or organizations, and oftentimes they'll call and they'll ask for a different name, say Rachel or Melissa or whatever. And I'll say, no, you got the wrong number. And I'll just say, wait a second. I'm so-and-so from whatever organization, and I usually just hang up then because I kind of look at that as a scam. I'm just wondering if being on the do not call list really does me any good anymore.
Laura, do you want to take that?
Yeah, absolutely. Dean, thanks for calling in. So as an initial matter, the charitable organizations and political organizations are not required to are not on the do not call list. So by being on the do not call list, that is not going to eliminate calls from charities or political entities. So if you're interested in a charity and a charity calls you, we would encourage you to look at Charity Navigator to find out whether or not it is a legitimate charity, because I think you were concerned that some of them might be scams because they're not getting your name correct. That also could just be that they're not keeping their lists up to date. So we would also encourage you to tell the caller that you want to be removed from their list, that your number is that you do not want to receive solicitations from them anymore. And many charitable organizations and political entities do keep lists, but they are not covered by the do not call list. So being on the do not call list is not going to prevent you from getting those calls. But we do think that being on the do not call list is important. It's very important. It's a good way to to prevent getting unsolicited calls from companies that have registered. Now, we've spent a lot of time talking about scammers and robocalls. Many of those obviously are not interested in complying with the law, so they're not going to register on the Do Not Call List, and it's not going to prevent you from getting those calls. But it is going to prevent you from getting solicitations from companies who are complying with the law and aren't interested and have registered.
And frankly, businesses that are on that list, they don't really want to call you if you've already said you don't want to receive a call. So it's saving them time and money, too. In the long run, it's the illegitimate types that create the problems, Michelle.
Absolutely. I mean, those, and if it's a legitimate solicitation and you're on the Do Not Call List, you have a company that's not following the law, too. So then you need to decide. And maybe it's a mistake. Maybe it's their practice. So it's definitely something we would want you to report to us so we can follow with that company to be sure that they are following the laws of the state of Wisconsin. So if you do need to file a complaint, you can do so on our website at datcp.wi.gov. And we have a fast track form for do not call situations where you're reporting just very minimal information so we can follow on that.
All right. There you go. Thank you, Dean, for calling. Ken in Franklin, your turn. Hi, Ken.
Hi. It's funny this just happened to me while I was listening to your show on a regular basis. I never answer the phone unless they're on my contact list, which I'll see their name come up. But it says voicemail on the phone, and I still didn't answer it because this has happened before where they'll call two or three times a day for a week. And I can't block it. I can't block this particular it doesn't have a number on it. It just says voicemail. And I can't block it like I do with all the others. So they're using this voicemail as a way to try to get you to answer the phone. So is that new, or is there a way I can stop it somehow?
I'm not familiar with that. I'm familiar with something called ringless voice drops, and that is where your phone doesn't actually ring. They go directly to your voicemail to make contact, and that is a form of solicitation. That isn't something we've seen the scam artists adopt yet. It's something where we've seen businesses try and communicate marketing messages to individuals, and that would still be a problem if you are on the Do Not Call List because they're still communicating with you by phone. So I'm not familiar what this voicemail thing is. I would file a complaint with us so we can certainly take the information, look into it, and I would probably contact your phone provider to see what advice or direction they have, if there's something you can do with regards to either blocking or routing that differently. But I would make those two connections.
There you go, Ken. Thank you so much for calling. Let's go to Donna in Eau Claire next. Hi, Donna.
Hi. I have been receiving, well, I would say that I've been inundated with tormenting calls from some scam, I think, that wants me to accept some type of life alert thing. It's either like a wrist or an ankle bracelet. I'm in my 80s, you know, so they targeted me for that. And they when you tell them that you don't want it and please don't call me, they don't even converse with you. It seems like it's a recording. Yeah. And I'd like to, and of course I have that caller ID, and these calls come from different cities and different states. And they say, if you don't want to be on this call, you want to be, contacted again, you can press a certain number on your telephone. Well, I was afraid to do that because then maybe that meant I was saying that I wanted it.
Well, you did the right thing there by not pressing that number, for sure.
And I mean, this has been going on for months.
Yeah.
And they'll call in the evening, and they call, it varies.
Frustrating, for sure, Laura.
Yeah, Donna, thanks for calling, and I'm sorry to hear that. It is frustrating, and it sounds like they've messed with the wrong woman because you have not engaged. Good for you. And don't press those buttons. That's absolutely right. It sounds like you're continuing to get the call. So one option that we would really encourage you to do is call our 1-800 number to see if we can look into those numbers and find out where they're coming from. And that number is 1-800-422-7128. 7128. And Donna, if you can avoid answering the call, maybe they'll stop calling. If you stop picking up, one of the things that happens is when you pick up, they think they have a live person on the other line and that maybe you're going to fall for their scam. So they're going to keep calling you. If it's a number you don't recognize, let it go to voicemail and you can listen later to see if it's actually a valid number. But otherwise, maybe just don't pick it up.
There you go, Donna. Thank you so much for calling. Again, that number for the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection is 1-800-422-7128. Listener couldn't stay online, but wanted to go back to our last show about online romance scams. Is there a way to ID photos that might be coming from romance scams?
So one of the things we talked about is to do a Google search on the image. So of the photo that's being used with the profile with the romance scam. So there is a way, and it's a recommendation from both us and the Federal Trade Commission to use in order to do that that search as it relates. But you would want to take a look and create the grab the photo and do a Google image search using that photo to see if it pops on other profiles, other scams, other dating sites, and then has different information, different storylines in order to authenticate that you're dealing with a scam artist, really.
So how do you grab that? You just make a copy and paste it and then go to Google?
Yeah, I will be honest. You know, I haven't done a lot of image searches, but there is a way to do that. And yeah, you copy it. You'll have to, I think it's the right click, grab, copy, and then you'll use the image function in Google to be searching for that image search there.
All right.
So we can certainly test it out for the next show, or maybe when you have your computer people in on one of those shows, they can talk about how to do image searches too.
All right. Let's go to another caller, Mitchell in Appleton. It's your turn now. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I actually am in the IT field, and I can say a lot of things about that image search, but actually, a little bit earlier, you guys were talking about the email scams, things like that. And, you know, kind of wondering what can be done about protections. I know there's a website for, like, even with data breaches, started by the research community. It's haveibeenpwned.com. A security researcher, Troy Hunt, made it. That's a really great way to validate if your information has been breached. But what about stopping it beforehand?
Yeah. Stopping beforehand with emails is there's ways. I mean, that some of it, a lot of it gets shunted to, what is it? Not trash, but
to the junk folder.
Your junk folder.
Mm-hmm. So depending upon the way that you set your filters in your email, you can make a lot of things go directly to junk where you wouldn't want. Some people review that once a month or once a week before they trash it because some legitimate things end up there. And depending upon what email provider you use, those filters will be stronger or not as strong. Who you're sharing your information with is also going to be a tool that you have within your control, and knowing and understanding their privacy policies, because they may take your information and turn around and share it with others that share it with others. And the more that it's out there through legitimate means and marketing, the more available it is for scam artists to get it as well. And then there's the CAN spam, reporting all the spam and different information that you receive to the Federal Trade Commission. Commission is also an important thing, so they can be seen what needs to be shut down from that venue. So there's three places to start as it relates to filtering some of that information.
Mm-hmm. There also happens to be apps that can call your email for you. It can allow you to look at the email without having to open it yourself and ask you whether this is a legitimate email and whether you want to keep it. And that prevents you from actually opening the email, because oftentimes the opening of it in and of itself can infect your computer with a virus. So yeah, you could look into one of those.
There you go, Mitchell. Thank you so much for calling. Good questions. Anne in Dodge County, your turn.
Hi. I have a question. Are there any, does Department of Ag have any standards for humane societies to meet? I mean, I was looking for some information because we have some stray cats. After reading the information, I thought I would never consider even using the facility after the comments from different people about how bad the place was.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if there are, you know, we're within consumer protection, and that covers a lot of things, but we don't get into the care of the animals and the humane societies. If there are any standards or information that can be provided, our Division of Animal Health would be able to provide that information. And if you just call our hotline, they can transfer you to that area. So just dial 1-800-422-7128. Tell them you heard us on the program and just want to be transferred to the Division of Animal Health, so you can check on that, and then they'll connect you and you can check with them on what's available.
There you go, Ann. Thank you. You can join in too, 800-642-1234. Let's go to Jim in Cleveland next. Hi, Jim.
Hi. I'm not sure if this is a scam or not, but it certainly felt like a scam. I was trying to activate a 403B through an insurance company, and I was trying to make those arrangements, and I was able to withdraw a lump sum, and then I was trying to activate the account, and then I got sent a billing notice for money paid out that I never received. And when I talked to them, and I took that information to my tax preparer, and I had to pay taxes on this amount of money. But the company said that they had withdrawn this amount of money from my accumulated funds as a penalty or fee, and therefore it was considered income to me. But they got the money, Aaron. They kept the money.
Oh, boy. Laura?
So, Jim, that sounds like a complicated question, and I don't know that I have an answer to it straight away, but insurance can be a scam, and there are two places that you can call in the state government to seek information about that. And the first place that we would encourage you to call is the Office of Commissioner of Insurance, OCI. And that number is 1-800-236-8517, 1-800-236-8517. And you can talk to them specifically about your issue, and they can walk you through that. If it is a company that is posing as an insurance company or offering fake insurance, then that would be in the jurisdiction of DADCAP. But as I say, OCI will be able to make that determination for you and direct you to us, or direct your complaint to us, and we would be in touch with you. It's one of the ways in which the agencies are trying to work better together, because oftentimes we have dueling jurisdiction. We both have a stake in what's happening to consumers, and we're starting to do a better job of breaking down the lines and communicating with each other about ways in which we can help. So I encourage you to call OCI with that question, and if it is in fact a scam, they'll get you in touch with our organization.
And again, that was 1-800-236-8517. So there you go, Jim. Megan in Berlin, your turn now. Hi, Megan.
Hi.
What's on your mind today?
I wanted to, just on a lighter note, let you guys know about a YouTube channel called Trilogy Media, and they do funny videos where they scam scammers, basically, and try to annoy them and basically take away the time that they are scamming other, actually scamming other people.
What's it called?
It's called Trilogy Media.
Trilogy Media. There are some, there really are some funny ones out there.
There are. I will be the negative Nelly, do not attempt these at home, you know, type situation.
That's right.
You know, we want to make sure that we have consumers that won't be tricked by the tricksters when they're trying to trick them. That whole thing, you know, they can catch you up in when you are just trying to irritate them back. And we've seen it in a negative light, or they start to get information and then they call again using that. So just being real cautious. So watch the videos, have fun with it, be entertained, but don't attempt these things yourself.
All right. You know, I'm surprised we haven't gotten a phone call about Publishers Clearinghouse scams, and that always comes up.
It sure does, and it's circulating. We had a couple callers about prize winnings that they had received, but they weren't specifically identified as Publishers Clearinghouse. But we are seeing the sweepstakes sweep through Wisconsin again, if you will, where consumers are being contacted to collect their prize that they have won, but they always need to make this monetary investment in order to collect or to enhance their chances of winning. We've seen it where they have been told that they've won a very nice, high-priced, high-end vehicle, and if they would just pay the registration, titling, and taxes, it will be delivered to their driveway. And if you win a prize, you don't have to pay. And the other thing to remember is it's really difficult to win a sweepstakes or lottery if you've never entered to win. So why are they calling you out of the blue about these great winnings that you have? So they usually don't want you to pay in any traditional form of credit card payment either. They would like you to provide them with gift card information or to wire them money. Again, all signals that these are scams and that you haven't won anything. So don't be thrown off by the excitement of having won a prize or the emotional result that comes from winning. Just disconnect if you've answered that phone number and don't engage.
Colleen emailed, she said, I have two robocalls this year from the U.S. Department of Treasury. I went to the website of the Department of Treasury and reported the number. This website said that scammers are even starting to ghost the U.S. Treasury phone number.
Yeah, so they've been doing it with Social Security Administration. They've done it with Medicare. They've impersonated the IRS. They're impersonating utility companies, Microsoft Tech, U.S. Treasury. Sure, why not take on their phone number while they pretend they're them at the same time now? So, you know, again, don't fall for what the caller ID tells you. It can be misrepresented. Don't fall for what they tell you during the call or in a message as to who they are. If you're ever at all concerned about the call, that it could be legitimate, use your resources and real information to make contact with that entity, that government, that someone, to check it out to see if there is a real problem. My dad did a great thing. He was concerned because he was called that the credit card company had contacted him and had been compromised and he needed to get a new card. And he finally listened to me. He hung up. He flipped over his credit card, called the number on the back. And sure enough, his card really had been compromised and it was the credit card company. But he didn't trust the call until he could validate it. So it was a good thing.
So he listens to his daughter once in a while.
Once that I know of to date. No.
Once that, you know.
He's a good guy. He listens.
He listens. But Michelle Ryden and Laura Sutherland from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, our guest today. They'll be back June 6th. We're changing the regular consumer protection segment to be every other month. It's really important listener service, we think. And we're excited to make a little more room in our schedule for some other new topics with our listeners. So they'll be back June 6th. Great to have them here. Always enjoy talking with them. And thank you for listening. And please stay with us. Lots more in store on the Ideas Network.